How honest are you? Do you always tell the truth? Can you be counted on to keep your word? Some of you remember Paul Harvey from a generation ago, a great radio commentary. He told a story once of four boys who were late to school because they had been fishing. They entered the classroom and solemnly told their teacher they were detained due to a flat tire. The sympathetic teacher smiled and told them it was too bad they were so late because they had missed a test that morning. She was willing to let them make it up. She gave each of them a piece of paper and a pencil and sent them to the four corners of the room. Then she told them they would pass if they could answer just one question: which tire was flat? Today we're going to explore the subject that touches every one of us. What does Jesus say about integrity? Integrity, honesty. Integrity means uprightness in character, honesty, truthfulness. Let me ask you again, are you an honest person? Are you trustful? Truthful, dependable. Are you a person of integrity? A few years ago, quite a few years ago now, there was a very insightful book published called The Day America Told the Truth. The Day America Told the Truth. That's 1991. It is written by two men, James Patterson and Peter Kim, who interviewed thousands of people on the conditions that their findings would be anonymous. When asked about truthfulness and honesty, what they discovered is a little disturbing. Of those surveyed, 91% said they had lied on a regular basis. 91% said they lie on a regular basis. So if there's 100 people here, which there's more than that, 91 of us lie regularly. And 9 of us are truthful? That's kind of sobering, isn't it? These are people telling the truth anonymously. 86% of teenagers said they lied to their parents regularly. 75 said that they lied to their friends, 75%. 69% said they lied to their spouses. 50% said they regularly called in sick to work when they weren't really sick. 50%, half the society. What they discovered is that most people are not truthful. When they're really truthful and answer the questions anonymously, they're really not truthful or honest. They stretch the truth. They lie regularly. You ever told a story and then cross your fingers behind your back? Would you ever do that as a kid? You're telling a lie, but you cross your fingers like that somehow makes it not so bad. We tell little white lies like we talked about with the children, and we think, no big deal. It's just a little white lie. Honesty and integrity are a rare commodity today. Rare, according to this survey. Who can you believe in? Politicians? Salesmen? Scientists? Lawyers? Teachers? Doctors? Priests? Everyone is suspect. There's a credibility gap. We just don't know who to believe or if we can believe anyone. What does the Bible say about this? What does Jesus expect from his followers? God's word is very clear. Let me give you just a couple verses of hundreds we could share. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being." Truth in your heart. God wants you to be a truthful, honest person. Proverbs 12:19 says, "Truthful lips will be established forever." And verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Are your lips truthful, or do they tell a lot of little white lies? God is the Father of truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is called the father of lies in John 8:44. He's the liar and the father of lies. So which father do you want to imitate? When you lie, you're imitating Satan. When you tell the truth, you're imitating Christ. So let's open our Bibles to the Sermon on the Mount, the scriptures we just read aloud. We're going to go through verse by verse. And we're going to see how Jesus discusses truthfulness and honesty, specifically about vows and oaths. You've heard of vows, you've heard of oaths. We're going to learn about those today. I've titled my message, Nothing But the Truth. Can you say that? Nothing but the truth. That's what should come out of our mouth. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Nothing but the truth. I divided my thoughts into three simple points. This is not going to be a long lesson. It'll be easy to follow, not so easy to apply. We need to apply this to our life. Number one, the truth determined by oaths and vows. That's what we'll look at first. What are oaths and vows? Number two, the truth distorted by the Pharisees. We're going to see how the Pharisees used oaths and vows to distort the truth. And number three, the truth demanded by Jesus. What does Jesus say about this? So let's begin with the first one, truth determined by oaths and vows. The Old Testament permitted oaths. The Bible permits vows and oaths. They were used to confirm truth. Jesus is not against all vows and all oaths. Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 5:33. He says, again, you've heard that the ancients were told, and whenever you see the capital letters, this is a quote from the Old Testament. You shall not make false vows. Well, that means you can make true vows, but you can't make false vows. You shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. So if you make a vow, you need to fulfill it. Jesus said, that's true. That's what you've heard. That's what you've been taught. Fantastic. Vows and oaths were commonly used to confirm that one was telling the truth. If one made a vow, he was obligated to fulfill it. They were often used in legal agreements and contracts, as they are today. Going back to the Old Testament, let's pick up a little bit of the thought of here. Look at Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If you make a vow, you need to follow through to the very detail of it. If you make an oath, you need a promise to do what you've said. That's clear enough. We need to follow through. It's restated in the New Testament in Hebrews 6:16. Listen to this. For men swear by one greater than themselves. And with an oath given as confirmation to the end of every dispute. So oaths were used to confirm truth and to end disputes. So they're common in the Bible. There are some denominations that say they will not do any oaths or vows. They won't testify in court because of the words of Jesus, but they've overstated what Jesus said. He didn't say you can't use oaths, you can't use vows. He said you just can't do them in a wrong way for a wrong purpose. An oath is calling down God to witness the truthfulness of a statement. Does that make sense? That you're swearing by God that you're telling the truth. Many great men in the Bible and women use oaths and vows. Abraham did, and God did to Abraham. Jacob, David, Jonathan, Paul, and many others used God as an oath. And even God used an oath. He swore by himself because he could not swear on anyone higher. Look at verse Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. I will surely bless you. So God promises, swear to God, he is God. He with an oath, he said, I promise you, I will bless you, Abraham, and your descendants. So usually an oath calls on someone greater than you. So God called upon himself because no one is greater than God. Does that make sense? What can we conclude? so far about oaths and vows, they're biblical. And they're useful in determining truth. But, like other good teachings in the Bible, they can sometimes be distorted. And that's what happened with the Pharisees in Christ's day. They were using oaths for every little thing. They were misusing them, overusing oaths. So that's our second point. Truth distorted by the Pharisees. Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount confronts us in verse 34. Matthew 5, 34 says, "But I say to you." He says, "You've heard in the past, but let me tell you, I'm speaking to you now." Jesus is God in flesh. He says, "Let me give it to you straight." We need to listen to Jesus. He says, "Make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." Interesting last phrase there, because that was the day before Lady Clairol, I guess. We can make a hair white or black. The point is you got no control over these things, and you shouldn't be using these. Jesus is not forbidding all oaths, all vows. They're permitted in Scripture. God used them. But he says there's a time and a place for an oath, and for every little trivial thing, don't use swearing, oathing, oaths, and vows. For instance, when you got married, you did vows, and you call wedding vows. You vowed before the witnesses, and vowed before God, and vowed before your spouse. You'd say true to her, true to him, till death do you part. That's a vow. Have you kept that vow? Are you saying true to your wife, your husband, till death do you part? Not till divorce do you part. Till death. We talked about divorce a few weeks ago, didn't we? Are you keeping your vows? When you make a vow, are you keeping it? When you go to court and you put your hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that's acceptable use of a vow. Jesus is here confronting the trivial use of vows, the overuse of oaths, the misuse of oaths. They swore by anything and everything, so oaths had lost their significance in their culture. They were swearing by lesser things. We saw it just now in this verse. They're swearing by heaven. "I swear to heaven that I'm telling you the truth." Or earth, he says. Or Jerusalem. Or even swear on my head. Now, making an oath by these sounded pretty impressive. But the Pharisees considered these oaths less binding, since they didn't actually call on God's name. See, God's name was to be held in reverence. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. So instead of saying, "I swear to God," they'll say, "I swear on heaven that this is the truth." Their thinking was oaths made in God's name should be very rare and were very binding. But oaths made in other names, not in God's name, were less binding. They could be maybe altered. And depending how far removed from God the item was, the less binding it was. So there was in their crazy teaching, there was a hierarchy of vows. Some binding, some not so binding. In this system, truth-telling had eventually become optional. You couldn't believe anybody, not even the religious leaders, the Pharisees. So Jesus counters. He says all these less items that you're vowing to are still connected to God. Heaven is the throne of God. That's what it says. Don't swear by heaven, because it's the throne of God. Or by earth, for it's God's footstool. Or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of God. You don't even swear by your head, because you're made in the image of God. So ultimately, all promises are made in the presence of God. Doesn't he hear all things? And as such, all promises are binding. You should be truthful and honest. Are we guilty of misusing oaths and vows today? Think for a minute. Are you guilty of misusing oaths and vows? You ever heard someone say, "Well, I swear on my mother's grave"? That's an oath. "Honest to God, may strike me dead right now if I'm lying." You ever heard somebody say something like that? That's an oath. Children often say, "Pinky swear?" I guess they're swearing by their pinkies. I don't know. Pinky promise? Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Is that my generation or has that been said before? You've heard that? What in the world does that mean? I looked it up. Nobody seemed to know for sure. Except when corpses, to confirm a corpse was dead, they would poke a needle in the eye. And that way, if he didn't move, he was really dead. If he did move, I think that was a mistake. I don't know. I remember growing up, my foster sisters would say, swear to God, put your hand on the Bible. That's using oaths in kind of a trivial way. Often we use oaths without really thinking about it. Now I'm going to give you one example of a man who used an oath that you really respect a lot. His name is Peter in the Bible. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read a few verses beginning in 69. You'll recognize this, where Peter lied and used an oath to confirm his lie. Now Peter, verse 69 says, was sitting outside the courtyard. This is when Jesus has been arrested. He's being interviewed, interrogated. And a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. He denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're talking about. Was he telling you the truth? Oh, that was an outright lie. Lying to protect himself. Verse 71 continues. When he'd gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus the Nazarene. And again, he denied it what? With an oath. I do not know the man. This is exactly what Jesus is confronting. He's lying and he's saying, swear to God, I do not know this man. He's using an oath, pretending to tell the truth, but he's lying. Verse 73. A little later, the bystanders came up to and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. And he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Can't you hear Peter saying, I swear, I promise, I don't know him. He's involving God. I swear to God that I don't know who this is. Verse 75, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Is lying wrong? Even to protect yourself, Peter? It's wrong. Yet 91% of us lie. 91% of us lie, according to that study. And it's even worse when we use God's name to lend weight to our lies. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were disguising their lies with trivial oaths. What was wrong with their thinking? They were all about the right use of oaths and vows, and they weren't really telling the truth at all. The real issue here is truthfulness. The heart issue of honesty is what Jesus is talking about. Not the use of vows, but are we honest in our heart? Are we people of integrity? God hates lying. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God demands the truth. Speak the whole truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Are we excusing and justifying our lying? Just a little white lie. Be careful. Because little lies become big lies. Big lies, the lies seem to build. You have to lie more to get yourself out of the problem, and it just gets you deeper and deeper. Our third point today is truth is demanded by Jesus. Jesus now tells us, his followers, to be totally truthful. Verse 37. Let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is evil. Nothing but the truth. Anything beyond this is evil. Simply say yes or no. You don't need to add oaths. Be truthful, be honest, be candid, be direct, but also be loving. Speak the truth in love. Be a person whose word is their bond. Be a person of integrity. God is the hearer of all that we say, all that we promise. All of our statements should be true because they're said in God's presence. Amen? Listen to this quote by William Barclay. He's a commentator on the Bible. God is everywhere, all through our life, and in every activity of life. He hears not only the words which are spoken in his name, but he hears all words. We will regard all promises as sacred if we remember that all promises are made in the presence of God. Let's return to the statistics in the book, The Day America Told the Truth. I'm going to turn these statistics into questions. Number one, are you among the 91% who lie on a regular basis? Don't shout it out. Just say yes or no in your heart. Are you among the 91% who lie on a regular basis? And Jesus is talking to you. It's time to tell the truth. Are you among the 80% of teenagers who lie to their parents? Were you that way when you were a teenager? Lying to your parents about where you were, what you were doing? Number three, are you among the 75% who lie to their friends? Exaggerate to their friends? Are you among the 69% who lie to their spouses? Many of us have spouses. Are you honest with your spouse? Are you among the 50% who lie to their employers to get sick days? Boy, Jesus is convicting, isn't he? A little white lie, not going to hurt anybody. Hurts your relationship with him. Listen to this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful. We're lying to ourselves. We think we're better than we are. Jesus says, you better look at your heart. Your heart is deceitful. We're sinners. We need salvation. We need our sins forgiven. We are not liars because we lie. We lie because we're liars. We have deceitful hearts. It's the natural flow. If you live naturally, you're going to lie. To be truthful, it takes supernatural change of heart. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things pass away, all things become new. You can put aside falsehood and speak truth. You can't just stop lying. You got to start telling the truth. You got to do the right thing and not just stop doing the wrong thing. Speak the truth in love. It's not the lips that need to be tamed. It's the heart that needs to be tamed. It's not the lips that need to be cleansed. It's the heart that needs to be cleansed. And only Christ can do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart, David said. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You need a heart change. Amen? We need Christ to come in and change our hearts. Whether you've been a Christian a long time or a short time, this is one of the hardest things to get rid of is lying lips, deceitfulness. Let's pray, shall we? Maybe this is all new to you. You're new to the church, new to Christianity, but God wants to give you a clean heart. If you confess your sins to God and mean it and sincerely say, Jesus, forgive me, he will forgive you. He'll come into your life. He'll become a new creation, a new person from the inside out. He'll change your heart and then change your lips. You can do that right now by asking Christ in your own words, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and cleanse it from all sin. Take my deceitful heart and make it an honest heart, a pure heart, a clean heart. If you pray sincerely, Jesus will come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray right now in the silence of this moment, would you? Some of you have been a Christian a while and you haven't tamed your tongue. You're still saying things you shouldn't say. You're cursing, using God's name in vain, maybe even in oaths. And you need a heart change. So ask Jesus to awaken you to this and cleanse you from that. Father, thank you that you're the transformer. You can transform anyone and everyone as we come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.